Friends in Jesus, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. I want to consider the gospel reading with you this morning from Mark chapter 7, especially as Jesus replies to these disciples, or to the Pharisees who had just criticized his disciples for their unclean hands. And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." This is God's word. Please be seated. A palindrome, as you perhaps know, is a word that reads, or a phrase, that reads the same forwards and backwards. So the word mom is a palindrome, and the word dad. Race car is a palindrome. And then here's one that I can relate to on the golf course. This is a phrase that's a palindrome. Golf, no sir, prefer prison flog. And it's true, I think. A prison flogging cannot be as painful as watching some of my drives go two fairways over to the right. There's a really interesting palindrome at the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul. Hagia Sophia means the holy wisdom. And it is an ancient Byzantine cathedral. It became a mosque in 1453 when the Muslims conquered that territory. And that explains the minarets on the corners of it. And then in 1935 it became a museum, which it is to this day. And yet in one of the courtyards of the Hagia Sophia is this ancient baptismal font upon which is inscribed this Greek palindrome that is reads as follows. Nipsan anomena me monon opsin. And yes, it reads the same forwards and backwards. But those ancient Christians were not just playing word games. This palindrome actually has a profound meaning. The translation is, "Wash the sins, not only the face." Which is essentially the same point that Jesus was making when these Pharisees criticized his disciples for not washing their hands according to the Jewish traditions. As Jesus might say it, in a modified version of that palindrome, he would say, "Wash your sins, not your hands." Now, of course, you know, we value hand washing too. Not so much as a ceremonial act, but as a hygienic thing. These days in some hospitals, there are these hand sanitizer dispensers everywhere you go. You go to Napoleon, Henry County Hospital, all down the hallways. Hand hygiene, right? And then you go to the public restroom, right? Employees must wash their hands before returning to work, which I think is great as far as it goes. My question is, why isn't that required of everybody who goes into the public restroom? But that issue pales in comparison to the question that's before us today of a clean heart. Now, the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem. And they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they had come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" You know, these Pharisees kind of remind me of a local news reporter who landed an interview with President Obama. Imagine how exciting that must be for a local reporter. But you know, this reporter did not ask the president about the economy or about illegal immigration or crime or any of the big issues. He asked him how his golf game was holding up against Tigers. Really? You land an interview with the president and that's what you want to talk about? Now here come these Pharisees. And instead of asking Jesus something important, Maybe the meaning of his miracles or the meaning of his parables or of his teachings. Instead, they bring up this matter of his disciples' hands not being clean enough for them. Really? Is that what you would want to talk about if you landed an interview with Jesus? But of course, these religious leaders, they're not interested in the substance of Jesus' teaching. They just want to pin something on Jesus that will take a bite out of his popularity. Which sounds a lot like presidential politics in our days. But their criticism of these disciples does say a lot about these men, these Pharisees and these scribes, about their hearts and about their soul. And whatever sympathy we might have had for the Pharisees and their concern for clean hands goes right down the tube when we begin to see what these people are really up to and how they put what was important to them ahead of the people that are so important to God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I learned that to pass my mom's bath time inspection and to be declared clean, I had to wash not just those easy-to-reach areas, but I also had to wash behind the ears and between the toes, because what I thought of as clean, what my standard of clean was, mattered not a lick. In order to be declared truly clean, I had to consider my mom's standard of clean, or go right back to the bathtub and try again. The mistake that the Pharisees made is that they stopped asking what's important to God. And instead they focused their attention on what was important to their elders and to them. Fulfilling thus the words of Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And then we have another example in this text of this Pharisaical mindset. It was this whole tradition of Corban. We don't know exactly what it was all about, but apparently very religious people would dedicate their wealth to God while they were still living. We're not talking a last will and testament here. While they were living, they would dedicate their wealth to God, and then they would turn around and deny their own elderly parents the help that they needed because, well, sorry, have given my wealth to God, can't help you. And so in honoring the tradition that was important to them, they forgot how important their parents are. And how important it is to God that we honor our parents. Oh, I wish I could help you, Mom and Dad, but I really do, but I'm sorry. I dedicated it to God. And instead of a concern for people and their hearts and what's most important to God, their concern was that people conform to their rules and live by what they thought was important. But now this is where the hammer falls, as you figured it probably would, because maybe you figured out over the years, whenever we look at the folly of the Pharisees, what we are really seeing is a reflection of ourselves. My brother-in-law sings this hillbilly song about the Pharisee in me. Well, we make the same mistake if we miss the important words of Jesus that introduced that quote from Isaiah when he said, "Well did the prophet Isaiah prophesy of you." Wow. That "you" includes me. And that includes you. Because don't we also lose sight of the people around us who are so important to God and pay greater attention to what's important to us instead? And the proof is in the pudding, as they say. The proof of our Pharisaism in the way that we impact the lives of others around us. Just think for a second. How do you think those Lord's disciples felt when those Pharisees came down on them and criticized them for their unclean hands and for not following the rules and the traditions of the elders? Or for that matter, how do you think those Pharisees' parents must have felt when their own sons said to them, "Sorry, Mom and Dad, can't help you. I dedicated it to God." The proof is in the pudding, isn't it? In all those broken hearts and those downcast spirits that we leave in our wake, when my disparaging words have left a fellow Christian feeling put down and belittled because he didn't do something the way I would have done it. When my sarcasm has left my wife feeling less than loved, because as the fairer sex, she sees and does things a little differently than I do as a man. When my harsh and explosive words have crushed my child's spirit, because she didn't perform to my perfectionist expectations. When my critical and cutting remarks have left someone who loves me withdrawn and sullen, because putting them down somehow makes me feel better about myself and superior. Those broken hearts and spirits of those people are the proof in the pudding that, like a Pharisee, I have been thinking about what's important to me. I have put myself in front of the people who are so important to God. I have been more concerned about the little bit of dirt on their hands, their faults, their foibles, their little idiosyncrasies, than I have about them and their hearts. But that's what happens when our own voices are guiding us instead of God's voice, and when our hearts are so filled with self and so far from God, even our dearest ones will suffer the consequences of that. And many such things you do, says our Lord at the end of this text, many such things you do. Our problem, as the vicar said in the children's message, our problem is not dirty hands. Our problem is dirty hearts that would treat others so callously whom God has loved so lavishly. But we can be clean again in the forgiveness of those Pharisaical sins. Even though our words and our attitudes and even our gestures are so often aimed at building ourselves up by putting others down, Jesus' words and His gestures to us are love and life and forgiveness and salvation. His entire life was really all about what's important to God, namely people, namely us. His entire life was about washing us. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. And instead of all of those judgmental, critical, harsh, and cutting words that we deserved for all the dirt in our souls and hearts, He took all of that filth on Himself, and He allowed His own flesh to be dirtied and bloodied and bruised and beaten, so that all who believe in Him, all who look to Him and cry out to Him, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast and right spirit within me," are heard for their prayers. And the answer comes back in Christ: "Yes, yes, it shall be so. And though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And if I mattered that much to my Savior, if I am that important to Him, and I am, then how can I ever treat you as if what's important to me is more important than you are to God? The truth is, we all have dirt on our hands, probably behind our ears and between the toes too. None of us is perfect. We're all stained by sin, by our imperfections, by our bad attitudes, and by our harsh words. But God so loved us that He gave up His only Son. And by His one sacrifice, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's Hebrews 10. So I speak to you then as people who've been washed on the inside, whose hearts have been cleansed. If you are married, remember how important to God your spouse is, and give him or her the love and the honor and the respect that you promised you would. And if you are parents, remember how important to God your children are. He claimed them in their baptism and washed them. Do not exasperate them by your harsh and unrealistic demands. And if you are a Christian, remember how important to God that person is who sits in front of you today, or beside you, or behind you. and with love and deference be at peace. And if you are a redeemed human being, and you are, then remember how important to God are all other human beings for whom Christ died, and be a neighbor to them in your words and deeds. And let's remember what's important to the Savior. Not clean hands, but clean hearts, which He gives us when He cleanses us in a tide of water and blood that flows forth from His pierced side. For all of you, what matters to God is you. And you, and you, and you, and people. So instead of focusing on the little bit of dirt that we all have on our hands, let's forbear with one another, let's forgive each other, let's encourage one another, let's love one another. And God, forgive the Pharisee in me that always wants to put others down for the dirt on their hands and their faces, when I myself have been washed clean in the blood of Jesus. God, forgive me, and God, forgive you. And surely He does for the sake of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.